Good morning. Well, this is May the 12th, about 10:45. My computer's messing up, so I had to go into a different operating system, and I'm hoping this will record okay. We're on the second half of the chapter, The Language of Spiritual Healing. In the book, The Art of Spiritual Healing by Goldsmith. So let's just hop right in. There is a spiritual center in you. And in that center is stored up your entire spiritual heritage. Immortality, eternality, life, love, home, and infinite abundance. This center is not within your body. It is your consciousness, and that consciousness is not in your body. Your body is in your consciousness, which is infinite. After you have studied and practiced these principles, you will be able to close your eyes, be at peace, and find yourself in the body, out of the body, wherever you would like to be. You will be able to draw out of the infinity of your own consciousness all that is necessary for your unfoldment from this day unto the end of the world and beyond it unto infinity. Now that's a whale of a paragraph. But it is describing your consciousness, my consciousness. All right, he says, many people in metaphysics feel that the healing of physical ills through spiritual means is difficult because they do not understand the nature of the body. This misunderstanding stems from an incorrect concept of the word matter. In fact, ever since the days of the first teaching of metaphysics, its followers have been confused by this term. This is real important, so pay attention. Put on your listening ears. The majority of those using the term matter, usually in quite glib fashion, have no understanding whatsoever of the true meaning of it. They have been taught that matter is unreal, that it is an illusion, that they have been taught that matter has no life, and inasmuch as matter constitutes the body, they have denied the reality and existence of the body in an attempt to overcome or get rid of it. He has said repeatedly, no illusion is ever externalized. So there is no illusion out there. There's no use looking out at people, places, and things and saying, well, that's just an illusion. That's what the people did in India for thousands of years, and they made no progress. If it's all an illusion, why bother? But no illusion is ever externalized. It means the illusion is not out there. Matter is mind appearing, mind made visible as matter. I wrote this in the margin. What body do you see when you are not looking through good and evil? The mind is made up of good and evil. We know that. So when you look out at anything, it's colored with good and evil. It's colored with duality. And so we see this one is good and that one is bad. And the next day they reverse. That one is bad and this one is good. We're looking through a filter, through a glass darkly. But what do we see when we're not looking through that glass darkly? What body do you see when you are not looking through good and evil? Well, I can tell you the name. The name is Christ. The Christ body. Infinite. Immortal. Eternal. Not made with hands. So where is the illusion located? It's in the mind. The mind that's falsely seeing the world. How then did the belief that matter is an illusion come about? Well, the earliest recorded revelation as to the illusory nature of that which we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is attributed to Gautama the Buddha. On the basis of his revelation, he and his disciples did miracle healing work. His later students, however, misunderstood the word Maya, or illusion. They interpreted illusion as something external to their being. When metaphysics was first given to the world, it was taught that our senses testify erroneously. Unfortunately, instead of holding to that, metaphysicians began to teach that everything existing in the external world is an illusion, including the body. But this world is not an illusion. It is the concept we entertain of it that is the illusion. And that's very important that we distinguish the difference. It's not the world that has problems, it's concepts. Spiritual healing is based on the premise that sin, disease, and death have no externalized reality. They exist only as illusory beliefs or illusory concepts. Matter is not unreal. The body is not unreal. This world is not unreal. This world is beautiful, immortal, and eternal. This world will never be dissolved. But our concepts of it will be changed or dissolved. And so I wrote, body is not illusion. Concept of body is illusion. Concept can only be dissolved by awareness. As he progresses on the spiritual path, man will entertain a more spiritual sense of body. But never will he have a more spiritual body than he has now. So again, I submit to you, you are standing in the kingdom. You are standing in the Christ body, your Christ body. But you're beholding your concepts. And so the change that needs to occur in your meditation is you must go from concepts to awareness. Awareness melts concepts. In the work of the infinite way, the words real or reality pertain only to that which is spiritual, eternal, immortal, and infinite. So you can ask yourself, this that I see, is it eternal? Is it immortal? Is it infinite? No, it's a broken leg. What is it then? Yes, it's an illusion, but not an illusion out here. Because only Christ is here. And so the illusion is in the mind that's falsely seeing Christ. Well, now we know where it is. How do we dissolve it? Awareness dissolves concepts. Only that which is of God is understood to be real or is recognized as reality. With this definition of reality in mind, it should be easy to grasp the statement that we cannot see, hear, taste, touch, or smell reality. The words unreal and unreality pertain to anything, whether to our sense, harmonious or inharmonious, that is not permanent, not eternal, not immortal. So, there's a war going on in the Ukraine. Is that eternal, immortal? No, sometimes it's on and sometimes it's off. So it's not eternal. What is it? It's an illusion, but not an illusion out there. It's an illusion in here. Because I am falsely seeing my kingdom. I'm seeing it as this world. So the change has to take place within me. And in my meditation, as I remind myself that this is only a deceptive state of thought, then I can let go long enough to stand still. And in the stillness, God reveals itself. Have I been with you for so long and you haven't recognized me? Be not afraid, it is I. And resting there, without a desire to change anything out here, I become aware of that presence called Christ. I feel it. I sense it. I know omnipresence. And that melts the concepts, and I'm able to see the presence of God right where the world sees a war. It is at this point that the metaphysician usually makes a mistake. As a rule, when he sees a healthy person, or what he calls a good or moral person, or a normal, healthy, harmonious situation, he is likely to think of that person or situation as real. But when he sees a sick or sinning, he calls that unreal. Such an interpretation is invalid. reality pertains only to that which is spiritual, is of spirit, soul, God, and therefore must be spiritually discerned. It has to be awareness, folks. It can't be thoughts. Yes, I'm in complete agreement that only God is here. But I can't see through this illusion that's bothering me. Please help me with my illusion. He says, reality pertains only to that which is discerned through an inner awareness. Jesus referred to this as having eyes, see ye not? There is that which must be seen and heard with your soul faculties. When I say I'm sitting down for meditation and there is a movement inside, what am I sensing that with? I'm sensing that movement with my soul faculty called spiritual discernment. When we speak of sin and disease as unreal, we do not mean that they are non-existent. We are not just fooling ourselves and using our imagination in saying that they are unreal or untrue. When sin, disease, and death are called unreal, it's not a denial of the so-called existence of these things. It is a denial of their existence as part of God or reality. Do you see the difference between these two statements? In the realm of the real, the kingdom of God, the discords of sense have no existence. That, however, does not change the fact that we suffer from them. The unreality of it does not lessen our pain or remove our lack or limitation, because to our sense of things, we are suffering from them. All right, so to say that your allergies are unreal does not mean you're not suffering from them. It doesn't mean they have no existence. They do. In your mind. In your mind that sees good and evil, this is definitely an evil. But on the other hand, that doesn't make it real. Joel is forever telling us that we need to go within and ask the Father, reveal the truth. Reveal thyself. What's really here? And if we do that, we'll come into the awareness of the living Christ, the living God in our midst. The beginning of wisdom is the realization that these conditions need not exist. Freedom from them comes not from seeking relief from God, but through seeking God and rising to the dimension of life in which only God is. You do that in your meditation. You reach a point of stillness in which you cease to exist. The outside world ceases to exist. There's only the presence. You feel it. Its movement. Perhaps it whispers in your ear, I will never leave you. That's awareness. And that dissolves concepts. There is only freedom in God, freedom in spirit. So there is no such thing as freedom from pain, freedom from limitation, freedom from disease. But when we drop that and aim towards the Father within, we find there's freedom in God. There's freedom in God realization. As you rise above the concepts of the physical into the realization of the spirit, your consciousness is transformed and shows forth harmony in a language and in a form you can understand. Now, in your meditation, your consciousness is transformed. And that needs to happen in every meditation. And eventually, it needs to be a permanent consciousness. And then you will be Christ. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth. He says, never, never use such statements as, oh, it's unreal, or it's untrue, it never happened. You understand that what you are talking about is unreal and untrue and never happened in the spiritual kingdom. With that distinction in mind, you can accept the premise of the spiritual healing ministry that all sin, disease, lack, and limitation are unreal, and that they are no part of reality. They are concepts about the real. This is why Joel said he never gave a situation or a person a treatment. He always gave himself the treatment. Because when he sat down to meditate, he recognized, oh, here's world mind presenting a picture to me, a concept to me. But I don't accept it. It has no power, no law, no presence of God. It's nothingness. Then he was able to get still inside and be receptive, listening, until the Father within him would say something, or there'd be an inner movement. In one way or another, he knew that God is on the field. God's the only presence. And I believe towards the end he was walking in that consciousness 95% of the time or more. Many things dissolve just touching his consciousness. So the secret is really giving yourself the treatment, knowing that these concepts are being presented to you. And then in your meditation, you disregard the patient, you disregard yourself, and you open to a receptivity to consciousness, to God, to the Christ of your being. The Master saw the unreality of power. He saw right through this human activity, saw it as unreal. That is, as not a part of the eternal, the immortal, and the foreverlasting. It was this spiritual discernment which enabled him to come forth from the tomb. To his illumined spiritual consciousness, there was no power in the crucifixion. Think of that. You develop this consciousness, your consciousness, to the point where you know everything that you see humanly, you're only looking at concept, and they have no power, and you know it because they hit up against you and they dissolve. Now here is a mad throng of people that are yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he was able to look and say, "No, you have no power unless it was given to you from above." And walk right into the crucifixion knowing it was concepts. Painful, yes, but still just concepts. And knowing that, it couldn't hurt him. It couldn't kill him. Because the life he was living was behind the concepts. He was standing in the invisible. He said, "And now I have overcome the world." He was standing in the kingdom while they were nailing a body to a cross. He was standing in the kingdom. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And then he was lifted up. And after 3 days, he came back, picked up his body, and came forth from the tomb. This same illumined spiritual consciousness, this Christ consciousness, is here and now. And it is this consciousness which enables the spiritual healer of today to heal the sick and the sinning. It is the conviction that all forms of evil are unreal because they have no power to perpetuate them, no power to maintain or sustain them in the face of spiritual truth. If you come out of your meditation with an awareness of the presence, whatever error touches you is dissolved, is made lighter, so you can see through it. Honor God in the realization that the spiritual kingdom is intact, and that whatever comes to your attention in the form of sin, disease, death, lack, or limitation is no part of reality, no part of the kingdom of God, and therefore has no witness. It cannot stand. It has no substance, no law to maintain it. That's how you honor God. Let us assume that you have caught at least a glimpse of the underlying premise of spiritual healing, which is that God appears as individual being, and sin, disease, and death are unreal because they are no part of God and have no existence in a consciousness elevated to spiritual awareness. And that's the essence right there, that paragraph. As a rule, he says, disease is spoken of not as disease, but as a claim. For example, tuberculosis, cancer, Paralysis is referred to as a claim, a belief, or an appearance. You may ask as you read this, does changing the name do anything? Yes, it does, because the healing work is an activity of consciousness, and unless these subtle phases of the healing ministry are clear to you, there is no activity of truth in your consciousness to bring about healing. All right, so spiritual healing is an activity in your consciousness. It's an awareness in your consciousness which melts the claim, melts the appearance, melts this world, melts the concepts. If you're traveling on the desert and saw that the road ahead of you was covered with water, you would automatically stop your car because you can't drive through water. Then you look back at the road again, and if you look in enough intently, you awaken to the fact there's no water there. What you have been seeing is a mirage, an illusion. I've been to the desert and I've seen that water. It is said people can see whole little towns, oases, that aren't really there. Well, I've seen the water, and it's not there. You come up on it, and now it's often down the road the same distance it was before. Because there is no water. He's telling you that you have to handle the erroneous pictures that come to you the same way. I went to the doctor. I had a mammogram. They found a little spot. They don't know what it is. They're going to go in and explore. This is the time to give yourself the treatment. Here it is, a concept, maybe a series of concepts. What can I do about them? Nothing. I need an awareness. An awareness will melt the concepts. At least I know it's not out here now. So, Father, reveal thyself. Make me aware of thy presence. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and know I am God. And then, if nothing happens, an hour or two later, you sit down and go at it again. Until one day, not much seems to be going on. Father, reveal thyself. I stand still. And then there's a quick, short breath, and you hear the words, I come quickly. Something has happened. If it comes back to mind again later on, you do it again. And again, and again. Eventually the person will call back and say, you know, it was nothing. Or, I'm really worried. They're going to do a biopsy. Either way, there's work to do. Because we're not satisfied because the bad has turned into good. Those are still concepts. We want the bad and the good to turn into God. at least in our vision, seeing with our soul faculties, spiritual discernment. All right. You awaken to the fact there is no water there. You awaken to the fact there is no person there. What you have been seeing is a mirage, an illusion in the mind, not outside of it. That is exactly the process in spiritual healing work. As long as you are dealing with a cancer, tuberculosis, a tumor, paralysis, a cold, or influenza, you are at an impasse. What can you do about it? How can you get rid of it? What power have you to remove it? Or is there a God who can remove it? Too many prayers have been sent up to God to remove or change things or conditions so that we know that that does not work. Then what can you do about it? As long as it remains a disease in your consciousness, you can do nothing about it. When, however, through illumined consciousness or spiritual discernment, you come to see that it does not exist as disease, but that it exists only as mirage or illusion, then you have taken the first step in healing. Actually, he says, healing is not difficult, regardless of the name or nature of the disease. If disease and sin become unreal in your consciousness, how do they become unreal in your consciousness? By practicing these steps, these principles, and seeing 1, 2, 3, 4 of these things disappear and dissolve when they hit up against your awareness. Your awareness that God is on the scene, that God is here, God is now. Now he gives an example. He says, one of my early experiences in spiritual healing illustrates this point. I was asked for help in a case of tuberculosis in which the patient, a young woman, was already being cared for in the death shack, a place provided for those who were expected to pass within the next few days. From the beginning, it required constant alertness. It took 13 weeks of continuous work, hours and hours a day. 13 weeks means a little over 3 months. A little over 3 months, hours and hours a day. And it was 13 months, a little over a year, before she left the sanitarium completely restored in health. So he worked for 3 months, over 3 months, hours and hours a day before he saw any significant improvement. And then he worked for hours and hours a day, a little over a year and a month, before she was healed. I'll tell you, that's dedication. The point I'm trying to bring out through this experience is that healings take place not through the intervention of some God. healings take place through arriving at a state of consciousness in which sin, disease, and death have no reality, a consciousness which no longer battles these forms of discord and no longer tries to get rid of them. Our attitude toward them is the same as our attitude toward the water on the desert after we have discovered that it is not water but an illusion or mirage. Can you do that? Can you look at tuberculosis, which the person has days to live, the same way you would look at the water on the desert road, knowing that it's mirage? Can you? You can if you have the awareness of the omnipresence, because then you're looking at your awareness and not at these thoughts, these concepts of good and evil. So he's saying it's not some mysterious God that's going to help you. It's a change in consciousness from entertaining good and evil to resting in awareness. Complete, total spiritual healing is the non-recognition of the reality of the condition. It is a state of your consciousness or mine or the practitioner's consciousness in which God is so real, and the works of God, the Word of God, the universe of God, the man of God are so real that it is fantastic to believe that such a thing as disease of any kind could exist in God's universe. Now, you can't do that with just thoughts. You can't do that with concepts. You can't do that with the intellect. You can only do that with awareness. And you feel omnipresence flowing through you, even through your body. That awareness makes you know, hey, anything else is not real. All right, so the successful healing ministry is based, first of all, on the reality of God and the reality of God's creation, whether appearing as man, body, or universe. That's in the first place. And in the second place, on the realization of the unreal nature of what is presenting itself to us as a sick or sinning person, as disease or as undesirable habits. Realize that whatever you behold through the physical senses is but a mirage, which can be likened to the water on the desert. You say, well, it's easy to do that when we're talking about water on the road. Not so easy when someone calls and says, I've just come down with COVID-19 and I'm being hospitalized. But Joel has said repeatedly in this chapter that we must look on that second example the same way we look at the first. It's a mirage. It's made from the same substance as the mirage in the desert. And so what have you to do with that? What can you do with it? Nothing. You can't do anything with it, because it is unreal. It is a series of concepts. You are entertaining concepts about the spiritual body, the spiritual being, the spiritual universe. When you are able to do this, you will immediately translate illness into health. In fact, when you begin to discern spiritually, you will see something in everything around you, in flowers, clouds, stars, sunsets, sunrises, something greater than the human mind can grasp. Behind every externalized form, there is always more than the human mind or human eye can comprehend. When you see with spiritual vision, you behold the man God made in his image and likeness. And it is this ability to discern reality which brings out healing. And that's awareness, not thought. All right, so that's the important chapter. It points out the fact that everything you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is illusion, but not an illusion out there. What you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is an illusion, a series of concepts within you. And they make up whatever the error is that's presenting itself to your consciousness. And so the only way you can meet it, number one, you don't battle. You don't try to pick up a statement of truth and hit it over the head like a club. You catch it right at the beginning. Right at the very beginning. Someone walks by and you're reminded of COVID and you stop right there. You stop. Only takes a moment. Father, reveal thyself. What's really here? And you're silent and you're waiting before the throne. You're listening. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, that's right. Only I is here. I don't have to be afraid because someone's coughing. I can rest from that battle. I can cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. I can rest. Rest on that sea of spirit. God is. And as we rest, sometimes nothing happens. That's okay, we've opened the door. We maintain our receptivity, and an hour or two later we sit back down. Only God is here. I rest in God. God reveals itself when I listen. Speak, Father. And that's all there is to it. You feel a movement inside. Something responds. God reveals itself, either in a words or a word, a feeling, an awareness of that beautiful presence. Ah, God is here. Right now. And that presence I feel is omnipresence. It's present everywhere. There's no place where this presence I'm feeling right now, there's no place where it doesn't exist. It's omnipresence. It's all presence. And so I am still. I let that presence live itself. And that's one meditation. Now I get in my car, I drive towards town because there's things I need to get at the grocery store. There's a delay up ahead. It looks like there's been an accident. They're pulling us over to the side of the road. I pull over. I get still inside. Yes, I see the ambulance and the person they're putting on board. What has that to do with me? Nothing. I want the awareness I had at home. God is omnipresent, and I want to feel God just as much here as I did in my meditation chair. So now let me close my eyes. God is. This picture is a series of concepts about the God that is ising. And so I drop them. There's no power in them. There's no reality in them. The reality is in the presence of the living God, which is right here where this is appearing. Father, reveal thyself. I am still. I am listening. Speak, Lord. And maybe I feel nothing, and maybe I feel something. I feel a presence that's not made up of good or evil. It's just a presence. I'm discerning it. Spiritual presence. And I know it's on the field, and so I have nothing more to work on or worry about. So I open my eyes, and it seems to be good timing because I'm being waved forward. And I move forward past the accident, go to the grocery store, pull in, park, and go in to get my groceries. All right, now I've got my groceries, I put them in the basket, I've gone up front to find an aisle that's open, and there's one right there on the right, so I go towards that. I see that someone else is moving towards that, and they're kind of racing me, so I just wave my hand, go ahead, and now it's my turn. Well, the person in front of me starts arguing with the checkout lady. All right, am I going to concentrate on this good and evil? No, I just realized that only God is present, so this must be that mortal mind error appearing again. So I just blink. I can't close my eyes. I blink, Father. It's your show. It's your ball game. just the word Father, and I rest back. Father. And I don't know when it happened because I wasn't paying attention, but they've stopped arguing. Everybody seems in a good mood. She finishes checking him out. He goes on his way. And now it's my turn. How are you? She says. I say, I'm good. How are you? She says, okay. And so, like that. Now, before I leave the store, I make it a point to go up to the store manager and tell the manager that this lady that checked me out is really a good employee. He needs to keep her, and if possible, give her a raise. And then I leave the store and drive home. You see, it becomes a way of living. You're not just coasting, thinking good thoughts and bad thoughts. Oh, that's a beautiful sunset. But there may be storms tomorrow. See, that's a good thought followed up by a bad thought. What about the sunset just is? God is. Just enjoy God is-ing. Stop putting all these concepts on it. So, this is the way we live. We're constantly receptive, says Joel. There's always an area of consciousness that's listening. That's receptive. That's open. That's intuitive. That's resting. Resting in an awareness of the sea of infinite spirit, infinite presence. We walk around in that consciousness and we become a part of the living God on earth as it is in heaven. We become a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. And we see many miracles take place. We know we're not doing them. I didn't do that. I was busy reminding myself that I could do nothing. But listen, when this thing happened. So it has to be a power greater than me, doesn't it? Something that slipped through, sneaked through the cracks as I was listening. You become a consciousness in a constant state of receptivity. And that's the whole goal of this program called The Infinite Way. That we may become listeners. And that the hand of God may reach right up through us out into the world and appear as healing, appear as dissolving, appear as regenerating. This is what Joel came to teach us. This is what Christ Jesus came to teach us. This is what Herb came to teach us. What Virginia came to teach us. This is what Bob came to teach us. We can be a state of receptivity 24 hours a day. And you'll find that as you rest back more and more in the daytime as you're walking around, you will need less rest at night because you're getting the rest you need in the daytime. Well, it looks like it's been an hour, so I'll wrap up today's talk. I had to do it on a different operating system, so we'll see how it works. Thank you for drawing this out. I love you. I highly recommend this way of life. Thank you. God bless.